Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. And in this daily editorial, we are getting a company update from, as a lot of our longtime listeners would know this company's name, New Dimension Resources, has now been renamed Capella Minerals, now going to be traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol CMIL. I am chatting with the president and CEO, Eric Roth. Now, Eric, I had you on actually just a couple weeks ago to outline the renewed focus here of the company in the Northern Hemisphere. We talked about some of the projects in Sweden and Norway, as well as some of the Canadian projects. We're going to go back through those and get a general update on what news flow is going to happen as the company moves towards drilling. But first and foremost, talk to us about this name change and more specifically, what this renewed focus is for the company.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Great to be back, and a big hello to your listeners too. So, yes, as we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, Corey, as you mentioned there in the introduction, we have undergone quite a change in terms of the focus. We've completed the divestiture of projects in Argentina, which, as we've discussed before, were really more for, jurisdictional reasons. And now we focused on the Northern Hemisphere, which includes the two gold projects in Canada, which are both joint ventures, one being Domain, which is a joint venture with Yamana, and the second being a joint venture with Ethos Gold at Savon Lake. But what we've done is in August, we announced a deal where we picked up some new projects in Scandinavia, one being a gold project and two high-grade copper projects. So we feel that really complements nicely the Canadian assets. And just one thing to perhaps mention too, and the reason we really selected the name Capella is because it is one of the brightest stars in the Northern Hemisphere. So it really does give a bit of a geographical, identity to the company name. So that's where the name basically came from. But we're excited with the portfolio we've got. And as I say, it's a really fantastic mix of high-grade gold projects and high-grade copper projects.
Now, that's one thing that we should discuss a little bit further here, because you're not a one asset company. You have multiple assets that you're going to be exploring, and you're moving away from just being focused on the precious metals. A day like today, when we're seeing some pretty high volatility and a broad sell-off in the metals, that's obviously nice to have these copper projects, but what's going to be the movements towards drilling in terms of balancing out both gold exploration and copper exploration?
Yeah, so in terms of the gold projects, Corey, I think probably the project that is closest to drilling would be Domain. That's the joint venture with Yamana in Manitoba. And where we are right now is we're basically in the process of designing the next work program, going through the permitting process. And that permitting process could take probably 2 months or so, and then looking to drill early next year. That would be first prize. I think that's basically where we are with on the Canadian projects. At Savon Lake, obviously, we'll continue with the new joint venture partners, who are Ethos, in fine-tuning some of the targets that we have developed, plus they will bring in some new targets of their own. So we will push Savon Lake forward as well, too. And the Swedish gold project, well, that I think that's probably still we have a lot more. It's a very large property. It's about 500 square kilometers. We have some very clear targets in it, but obviously we want to make sure we've looked at the property before we actually go forward with any drilling. If I look at the two copper projects, they're quite advanced in the sense of these are former mining districts, and as we talked about previously, I think the best place to find a new mine is in the shadow of a head frame. So we really have that situation where both Lochan and Sholey were projects that were former mining districts. They basically operated until the mid-80s. And in fact, they actually closed basically because of low metal prices. But those districts really haven't seen any serious exploration for 35 years now, right? So, and of course, in the day when those mines shut down, we're talking about copper trading at 70 cents a pound, whereas now it's over $3. So we see a lot of potential there amongst those high-grade deposits to bring them to drilling very, very quickly. And at both Lochan and Sholey, while we are systematically looking at the projects, there are walk-up drill targets on both. So we're, very keen to be able to push those forward to drilling as quickly as we can.
So what's going to be that process here to move the projects, the ones not in Canada, the ones in Sweden and Norway, towards actually drilling? What more surface work do you have to do? What permitting work do you have to do? Give us some more insights here, please.
Sure. So Corey, so where we are right now is we have field crews basically on all of the Scandinavian projects at the moment. So we're really just taking advantage of what is the last end or the back end of the summer coming into the autumn here. So really what we're doing is we're just completing the drill target generation work at Lochan and also Scholey. Although at Scholey, I will say we've only had a chance so far to look at about 5 kilometres of the prospective 15 kilometres of strike that we have to look at. So, but having said that, we do have enough good-looking targets in there to probably already go into the permitting process. And the permitting process in Norway or Sweden, for that matter, is about 2 months. So the steps from here are effectively we'll complete the drill target generation process. Basically, those we then apply for the drill permits to the government, and that process takes about 2 months. And then the plan would be to start drilling as soon as we get the okay to go. So that's kind of the time frame that we're managing at the moment.
Okay. Now, Eric, give us a little update on the cash in the bank for the company to, well, continue to move towards drilling and then actually get a drill on the ground. Are you guys going to need to raise money before that point?
Yeah, so right now, Corey, we have about 2.5 million Canadian in the bank. So we certainly have enough money to push things through towards drilling and to get some initial drilling. Obviously, there's not enough in that to do a mega drill program on any of the projects, but we certainly have enough at least to get the projects through to drilling and do some initial drilling, at least start to get the ball rolling in terms of testing some of our targets. But obviously, with that sort of cash in the bank, we don't have enough for a mega drill project. But there's enough there to at least, you know, start things off and get the ball rolling. So, and what we'll do is obviously early next year, we'll reassess in terms of the targets where we are. And obviously then we would assess, would we do another financing, or from the last financing, we actually have another quite a large chunk of warrants that could come into the money. And we are hoping that from either A or B, that would be the money to keep the drill rigs turning. So, but we are, look, obviously very conscious of the fact we want to get out there, we want to drill things, and of course that's what excites the market, is to see the drill rig turning.
Exactly. Yep, that can drive a market even when the market is slow, or even when the underlying, say, gold price is moving down. But one thing to consider, too, is that copper trudging higher again today. It's actually been quite impressive to me to see how resilient copper has been through this whole time. One thing that I know I'm going to get some comments on is saying, well, you know what, this is a relatively new company, and they have some money in the bank to continue to move stuff forward. And when you look at the share structure, 137 million shares outstanding. That brings a market cap of about $11 million Canadian. So that's one thing that, I don't know, I think we should outline, is that the market cap is still, I think, well, it's relatively low. Eric, give us some more insights, though, on who some of the main shareholders are.
Yeah, sure, Corey. So in terms of the main shareholders, so up until now, we've had a lot of support over the last couple of years from Sandstorm Gold. So Sandstorm Gold remains our number one shareholder with about 14% of the stock, I guess management, and that's management insiders also control about 10-11% plus or minus, and then afterwards we have Palisades Gold Corp. Now as part of the agreement to acquire these projects, EMX Royalty will also become a shareholder in the future. But for right now, the way the shareholding currently stands, we have Sandstorm Gold remains our largest shareholder, and they've been very supportive too.
All right, Eric, we're going to wrap it up there. I will also post a link to that last interview where we do go over the projects a little bit, but really what everybody I think needs to understand is that the company now is a renewed focus. You are moving towards drilling of some of your own owned projects in Sweden and Norway, and you also have some partners drilling your Canadian projects. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will get Eric to answer those. So, Eric, in the meantime, thank you for the update. Keep us up to date on future news, and I'll be in touch if any questions come in. Have a great rest of your week there, Eric.
Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it.